This is episode 84 of the Wildlife Photography Podcast. In this episode, the winning image. Hi everybody, my name is Jerry, I'm from Wild Eye, and it feels like it's been quite some time since I've pulled out my Blue Yeti microphone and fired up the podcast software. It's been quite a while, so I'm not sure where to start here. The one realization I had, which maybe could lead to this, is when I arrived back at Johannesburg Owatamba International Airport on what must be 3 days ago from Vic Falls, I was walking in, which is a very familiar place for me, going to fetch my luggage from the carousel just after checking through passport control. And I'm walking and it kind of feels like home because I spent a shitload of time there this year. And I realized it's actually my very last flight for the year that I just took. So I have got more safaris left. I've got it's the wildlife photography seminar and our bolt-on at Sabi Sands later this year, but that's a drive-in. So that's like 4.5 hour drive for me, which is quite pleasant. So I thought to myself, what I need to do is I need to actually go back to January and go and look and see how many flights I took and how many air miles that is, because I think it's quite ridiculous. Just the Svalbard and Gorilla trip together was about 11 or 12 flights. So I think there's so much on the go because with being out of the office for so long, it's always, we stay on top of things. Thank God for iPhones and stuff, and that you can check email and stay on top of things. I've got a good team in the office. They kind of manage things while we're away. But when you get back, there's always those things you have to follow up on. And then the big challenge, because next year's travel looks even worse in a good way, of course, is to work forward. So we're busy. Just today, we loaded to the website new trips well into 2019. I'm working on an ultimate elephant safari. Some of you guys have sent me emails about that already for October 2019. So it's a funny place to be. It's this end of year vibe. I don't know if you guys are the same, but at offices and stuff, as you go into November, everybody wants stuff done yesterday and they can't wait, but they suddenly realize they messed it up and they need their stuff. So it's a funny time of year, but everything's still going well. I've got one safari left, like I said. Things are going well. And then looking forward to a nice break. It's been a phenomenal year of travel, some phenomenal stories. I know I'm way behind on my images. I think about 4 or 5 galleries behind. It's just they come back to back, so you can't find that time. And I've got so many blog posts I need to do. But I finally took a little bit of time away from the office to come home and to do this podcast and hopefully another one. Because there's so many ideas. Like you guys know, when I'm on trips, and in discussions with people, ideas come up and conversations come up. So I keep a note on my iPhone with all these ideas and things. I must have added on my last trip now to Monopoles and Wangi, I think I added about 7 topics that I want to do, either blog post or podcast. And yeah, I need to get back to blog posts. I actually sat down today at the office and I started writing a blog post. But then the head goes because I need this accommodation for 2018 and I need that costing. So I kicked that to the side and I did the work. So came home, I've poured myself a whiskey with ice, drink of choice, of course. And I thought, let me try and get some podcasts out because I do enjoy this. I do enjoy kind of just talking through ideas and getting feedback from you guys. So I'm going to get into some more of the fun stuff later on in this week. But for this particular episode, I thought I would share some of my thoughts and ideas on the winning image of the Wildlife Photographer of the Year competition, the latest one, 2017. So it came out, the winners were announced, must be a week or so ago, 2 weeks maybe. I was in Monopoles and our Wild Eye WhatsApp group, we've got a group for the guides. Someone sent this through and said they don't get it because the image is, now if you haven't seen this, go and look for it. Just type in Wildlife Photographer of the Year 2017 winning image. I'm gonna try and describe it to you. It's called Memorial to a Species, this image. And it's a wide-angle shot up close of a rhino carcass. So it's a dead rhino that's been dehorned, obviously by poachers. The animal's laying on the left side of the frame in like an open patch. You can see there's been movement around it. Then it goes into a bit of green, and then there's quite an ominous dark blue sky behind it. Now, I'm not going to... It's a tough one here because I understand conservation. I understand we need to raise the awareness. I understand all those things. And the photographer, Brent Sturton, great guy, great photographer, nothing against him. And I'm just very confused. I'm super confused about this. So I'm going to just read for you what the head of the judging panel for the Wildlife Photographer of the Year said about this image. So they say, when an image shocks and assaults us, there needs to be a good reason. With this one, there is. The stark simplicity forces us to witness the brutal, tragic, stupid waste of a poacher's work. If we feel disgust, is it at our own species, while we pity the black bull rhino for its ghastly death, killed by two shots just so that its horn could be hacked off to supply illegal trade in a questionable medicine? There is a horrible intimacy to the photograph. It draws us in and invites us to explore our response and responsibility. So that's what they had to say about this image. Now, if you know how the photography competition works, you enter into a category, animals and their environment, animal portraits, behavior, whatever. Or in the case of this particular image, I think it was in the, I'm just looking for the exact name here. I'm scrolling through as I'm talking to you. Underwater, urban wildlife, earth's environment, black and white, wildlife, photojournalistic awards. And the Wildlife Photojournalist Award stories, which means you have to submit a group of images that make a story. So obviously Brett's things was around the rhino poaching situation. So you enter into the categories, and then out of any of those categories can come the winning image. Now, let me just say this to you, and I know you guys, I've spoken about this in the past. I don't enter competitions, and I think I've given my reasons. So there's no bad, but I didn't enter this. I look at it each year, and it's always an interesting discussion as to what the winning image is and what people think about it. Because I remember, and I've said this, I can't remember, way back in the podcast, when Greg won 2013, I think Greg Du Toit, South African photographer, great guy, and it's a solid image. He took an image of blue elephant. So it's a blue cast, there's motion blur. It's a very interesting image. And like I mentioned previously, I did a presentation for Nikon South Africa, and in this I said that I put the image up on the projection, on the screen, and I said to people, right, and these are all keen wildlife photographers, I said, how many of you in this room thinks that that is the best wildlife photograph of the year? Not one person put their hand up, but everybody said, oh, wow, amazing image, but nobody put their hand up. So now, fast forward to 2017, and we're faced with this image, which obviously brutal and horrible, and it raises an awareness about a horrible situation. I get that. So at some point on my safari, I think it was in Wangi, we had drinks with Marlon, was in Wangi at the same time, which was pretty cool. We never see each other out in the field. So he had a couple of guests, and one of them started talking, and I mentioned to him, did you see the competition? In my words, I think it's complete horseshit. Because is this that I'm looking at right now, that you should be looking at, is this the best wildlife photograph of the year? So we started talking about this, and one of his guests came in and said, yes, but they have a voice as this competition, and they need to make a point. Okay, that's fine that they want to make a point, and we all should make this point, and we all should support the point, but then it's not a competition anymore. Then it's not based on the best wildlife image wins. Now it's about which image makes the biggest statement. So this is, it's a very powerful image. It hits you in the guts. But is it the best? I don't think so. I really do not think so. And again, I don't have bad blood. I don't enter these competitions for my personal reasons. But, and Brett's a great guy, and it's a very powerful image. Is it a best wildlife photography of the year image? I don't think so. I mean, and yes, these guys have a platform. They have the awareness, and they have the eyeballs, and they have the attention of the wildlife photography world. So I get that making a statement is one thing, but then what about all the other 50,000 photographers that entered? They, because you didn't make a statement, and you just entered a mind-blowingly, amazingly awesome, incredible image, you don't win because yours don't make a statement. I'm just talking out loud here. I didn't really think all of this through before I hit record on this podcast. I just want to share thoughts, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Have you seen the image? Do you think that this is the Wildlife Photographer of the Year grand title winner? I'm confused, because let's look back. When you enter a competition, you should look at what their desired outcome is. For example, the Wyndland Smith Awards, they want to do a coffee table book and an exhibition, right? Theirs is a lot more hardcore wildlife. So your standard portraits, a lion killing an elephant, whatever, those kind of things feature there if you look historically. Now, the BBC, what used to be the BBC, is now the Natural History Museum competition, Wildlife Photographer of the Year, which is like the Oscars of wildlife photography, right? Their end goal has always been to put out an annual wildlife photography coffee table book, and then to run an exhibition. Now, exhibition to me says art. What I'm looking at is not art. This gruesome image. again, I will say it again, it is super powerful. It is very sad, and I get the point that you're trying to make with it. And as a part of a story, the way that Brett Sturton entered this, yes, absolutely, it makes sense. And that, to me, is the win. His win, Brent's win, is the story that he put forward. The context that was created by his... And you can go look at these on the website. The context that was created by his story. For us now to look... And then, on our Wild Eye group then, the jokes were coming around. So what do we do now if we were to enter this competition? What do we enter? I mean, do we now look specifically for things that make a statement? And it comes back to the core problem, the core concern, the core issue that I have with competitions is that the goalposts are always moving. One year, it's somewhat other abstract. You can't see what the hell is going on there, but it's beautiful colors that wins. Then there's a, which apparently I still think is a drone image by Nick Nichols of lions in the Serengeti. Then there's Greg's blue elephant blur. What is that? There is, and this is the problem with competition in art. And like I said, competing in photography is like trying to compete at yoga. But, and I would recommend every single one of you and every single one of my clients who travel with me, I would recommend that you enter, because it just hitting submit gives you and puts you in the position that you have looked at your work seriously. You've looked at your own work critically and you've put forward and said, this is the best I have now. Submit. That's you, that you win, right? You can then grow as a photographer. Up from that point on, it's the judges that decide. Now, I'm very... And I, again, guys, I get it. It's sad. It's horrible. Rhino poachers have to die in the most horrible way. I agree with all those things. But to try and make a point with a competition where other people have been putting good wildlife images forward and probably better wildlife images. This is not called the Conservation Photography Award. It's the Wildlife Photography. So maybe I'm missing the point here. I find it's a very difficult thing to say what this one hit us in the gut and therefore it wins. Okay, what about the other images that were just as great, if not better, true wildlife images? Guys who have spent a long time perfecting their craft, they get dismissed because they don't make a point. Is it not the same as, let's run a race, the 10 of us, right? And go. You come in fourth position, but you know what? You have a statement to make, so let's put you on the top of the podium. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing the point here. So if you guys have seen the image, if you have any comment on it, I'd love to hear your thoughts. And again, I'm going to say this one more time. I'm not taking away from the power of the image. I'm not taking away from a photographer or the competition, even though I have my thoughts on competition, as you know. I'm confused about it. And I know some of you listening, and I know some of you very well, will say that yes, but conservation should always win, and that's the ultimate goal of wildlife photography. Yes, I get it, but this is a wildlife photography competition. It is not a platform from which we have to say, right, I now have an issue. What about there's just as strong images on pangolin poaching and stuff, which I find even more gruesome. What if I take that and put it in? I mean, then the shift is, the mind shift, the focus, the intent has gone away from trying to create beautiful wildlife imagery, which is what this competition is based on. Yes, it creates an awareness, but still, it misses the point for me. I'm very confused here. So if you guys have a look at this, let me know what you think. I'm still confused. I'm going to look at it again and look through the competition and see, but I'm not sure what these guys want anymore. It's all over the place. Very confused. Anyway, just let's scroll further down this competition. So I've gone into the adult awards now, and the competition entries this year to me is very confusing as well. I'm not sure. This sounds like bitter, but I don't do this, so it doesn't matter. The animals in their environment is all very abstract in nature. But if I scroll through the thumbnails, and I kid you not, so there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 thumbnails in the animals in their environment. And in the actual thumbnails, there's only one in which I can see what animal it is. It's a whole bunch of hippo stuck in the mud. The rest are landscapes. The one has, I mean, there's a, it looks like a cybex, one of those mountain goat things. I'm lost, hey, I really am. Animal portrait. So there's a black and white winner. Is it a winner? Yes. By Peter Delaney, Ireland, South Africa, know the guy. It's a black and white of what looks like a chimpanzee with his hand over his head kind of behind laying down. Nice. Is it amazing? I don't know. It's nice. Then there's a humpback whale. There's the Arctic fox shot I quite like. David Lloyd has an image here, which, I mean, I'm willing to bet that a lot of you guys have very similar images to this, but you don't enter. It's going to take me to another point. Then there's a bald eagle and some other frog close up. Not bad. Behavior. Let me just scroll past here. Behavior birds, behavior invertebrates, behavior mammals. Guys, it's different. I don't know what they want from this competition anymore. Black and white, for example. A bunch of polar bear feet, which is cool. What's this? A dark squirrel. There's a very dark image of a squirrel. Then, oh, there's an image by Greg DeToy here. I mentioned him earlier on. Black and white. I know of two people who was in this very sighting with him when he took the shot. And both of them have also entered very, very similar, if not better, images of this exact same sighting previous years. Didn't even go through. So, you hear what I'm saying here? It's very... And then there's like a kung fu rabbit thing in the snow, also black and white. I would seriously like to hear from you guys. Go and look at this year's winners and tell me what you think. Do you think that this competition and this year's entries represents the very best of wildlife photography in the world last year? I'm not convinced. I also have, and this is something I've spoken to a couple of people about, if you go and map over the last 10 years, the people who have featured as, what do they call them? Highly commended or follow-up winners or whatever, even winners. Go and look at the names. Is there not a little bit of a old boys club or old photographers club that if you're in there and you keep on entering, at some point you will get in there? Now, it's not a case of I keep on entering in a race and eventually I'll be faster. It's because your name's there, you start featuring. There's images here which I think are not, and this is obviously my personal opinion, I don't think is better than some of the other stuff that was entered. If you look at the People's Choice Award and all those kind of things, but the name's attached to it. I don't know. Maybe I'm skeptical, but again, it's not, I don't do these things, so I couldn't give two shits about who wins. It's just, I think as a community, as a wildlife photography community, something is broken because we don't know what we want. The judges don't know what we want. And then what really pisses me off is that a lot of you guys enter, and I've got WhatsApps from many of you that have traveled with me or that have just sent me a message saying, what should I enter? I don't know how to enter. And we go through all of this, and you guys put so much emphasis on winning or at placing at these things, and then you I don't know. I hope I'm making sense here. It's very confusing to me. So let me know your thoughts on the winning image of the Wildlife Photographer of the Year. I'm very keen to hear what you have to say. Do you think that making a statement with a competition, does it break the base level what a competition is about? Or is it correct? Should we, or you as photographers who are entering competitions, should you now go that route and try and make statements with your images? Or should we follow and our passion and just shoot the beauty of nature and share that, whether on competitions or Instagram or on your website? I'm confused. And then also, if you have the time, look at the rest of the images and tell me what you think. Do you think they are absolutely amazingly mind-blowing? Or do you think, it's okay? I don't know. It's always interesting, and the reason that I don't enter these competitions is because I'm not going to allow a group of 10 or 12 judges to tell me my images are better than X, Y, and Z. I get that you can make a lot of, get famous off it, or whatever the case is. You can make money if you win, or whatever. I'm just confused. As a base principle, I don't know what the competition is about anymore. It's a feeling I've got for a couple of years now, but this, the winning image now making a statement. Anyway, let me know what you guys think. You can find me on social media, Jerry Van der Walt, on all the major platforms, and drop me a message and email Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, at wild-eye.co.za, and tell me your thoughts. I'd love to hear what you guys have to think. I think that's it. More podcasts coming up in the week. I'm back in the office now for 3 weeks. Apart from the one short trip to the Sabi Sands, I've got a lot of office time, so a lot of content coming your way. As always, guys, I truly appreciate your time. I thank you for listening, and I will chat to you in the next episode. My name is Jerry. I'm from Wild Eye. Have a good one.